When it comes to hard work, there's one important rule. Pick the right tool for the right job. That's why Chevy offers a family of Silverado pickup trucks designed just for the job. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
We reached out to Elizabeth Rosenthal. She's been on our show before, the editor-in-chief of Kaiser Health News and the author of that book, An American Sickness, which talks about this very subject. It's a great book on our healthcare crisis these days. Elizabeth, welcome back to WGN. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me. Or busy here, sitting here between the White House and Capitol Hill.
What are you reading today? How has the bill changing? And kind of give me some of the highlights.
Well, the highlights are that it in some cases goes further than the House bill and in some cases rolls it back. But I think the things that concern people about the House bill are still very concerning in the Senate bill. It drastically reduces federal payments for Medicaid. We like to think of that as, oh, that's the insurance for the poor, low-income folks. But in fact, it covers much of the nursing home care in the United States for people just like me, people who go into nursing homes with insurance or with Medicare. And then because people are living a lot longer and because health care is so very expensive in our country, they run out of those benefits and end up on Medicaid. So for anyone who would think, this stuff about, you know, rolling back Medicaid payments is just about other people, it's really about all of us.
What would happen to Medicaid payments under this?
What happens is, and both the House and the Senate bill do this in various ways and with various timescales, is there's a cap on what the federal government will pay for Medicaid. Right now, they match states. Under the Affordable Care Act, they actually expanded payments for Medicaid, allowing people in with who are above the federal poverty level. That's all scheduled to go away. And really, the difference between the House bill and the Senate bill is how fast it goes away, how quickly it goes away. And, what they're trying to do is kind of thread the needle to keep a lot of different conservatives and moderates happy. And there's some indication that so far they've kept no one happy.
If you drive people to poverty, though, I mean, if they have to spend all of their money, all of their assets, liquidate everything to keep them in a nursing home or get them the extraordinary health care they need, then they at some point will be so poor that the government will pick up the tab via Medicaid. Is that right?
Well, I think that's the question, is the states are capped in what they will get for Medicaid. And think of what Medicaid includes now. It's nursing home care, it's opioid addiction and treatment. That's really, really expensive stuff we're talking about. And if the federal government says, you know, sorry, guys, but we're going to ratchet down what we're going to help you, how we're going to help you out in this with money. The states don't have money. They can't print new bills, right? So they're going to have to figure out what can and can't we offer through this Medicaid program. And we don't have a good answer for that. Like, what do you say to a person who's in a nursing home on Medicaid and when the state runs out of money? Like, oh, sorry? You know, what's supposed to happen?
Right.
I don't think there's a good plan B. And the problem is, as with everything in healthcare, these policies that kind of sound good in theory, they play out on people's lives and on their wallets and on their health. And until we go, wow, this really didn't work the way we intended it to. Well, I think, you know, and as you see in the Senate bill and in the House bill, they're often written with a very long tail. So when it plays out badly, it's after the election and on someone else's watch. You know, maybe it's on the governor's watch in the state. But in this case, a lot of these governors who expanded Medicaid and who are going to be left trying to figure out, well, how are we going to pay for this? They're in red states. They have Republican governors. So I think that's why you see a divide between the GOP governors and what we see going on in the Senate.
Well, people in red states don't need Medicaid? I mean, gee whiz. Why are they doing this? Is it simply because they feel like we can't afford it, I guess?
Well, it is true that we cannot generally, in the big picture, afford to spend what we spend in this country on health care. It's, you know, close to 20% of the economy. That's why I wrote my book, which is to say that we pay too much for everything. We have to get control of the prices we pay for health care in the U.S., which are 2 to 3 times or more than in other countries of the world, even in countries where they have kind of a more market-based system. And until we do that, I think what we're seeing in Congress now, but also to some extent what we saw with the ACA, nothing is going to work very well because, you know, as someone said in an editorial once in Health Affairs, it's the price is stupid. Like, we can't pay this much right. for MRIs and blood tests and hospitalizations and expect any plan to kind of come out okay for patients or for the governors who have to come up with this money.
Medicaid's going to be challenged then if this version of the bill passes. What are some other headlines for you, Elizabeth?
Well, I think a big headline is that they would allow insurers in states that took this waiver to charge patients who had pre-existing conditions more. And, you know, again, if people like to think, well, that's somebody else. No, everyone in my family is okay. I think we should remember that before the Affordable Care Act made that illegal, under the Affordable Care Act, people with pre-existing conditions had to be given insurance. They couldn't be rejected. And they also had to pay the same rates as other people. Before the Affordable Care Act, what could be a pre-existing condition? Having mild asthma, using an inhaler once a year when you run, you know, having had a history of an abnormal pap smear, you know, minor things, so that kind of being human could put you in that you have a pre-existing condition category.
Wasn't having been pregnant a pre-existing condition, too? Maybe not, yeah. But I mean, we heard of all of these sort of, you know, severe interpretations of that, and it struck me as almost a scare tactic. Is that really going to preclude people from being able to get affordable health care if they had an abnormal pap smear or had an inhaler once upon a time?
Well, unless we find a better way to police or monitor or regulate what insurers are doing. Yes, it did before, and it will again. I mean, they won't be able to say, we're going to reject you from insurance, but they will be able to say, according to this, in states that take a waiver, we're going to charge you more. However much we want. And yeah. That effectively is saying you can't get insurance.
Talk to me about the politics of this briefly, Elizabeth Rosenthal, who is with Kaiser Health and is also the author of the book. She's been on our show before. Have you read this yet? An American Sickness. I'm hearing maybe four, maybe more senators aren't loving this already, Republicans that they need. Yeah. What do you handicap it a little bit?
Well, I don't know. You know, there's always this being a relative newcomer to Washington. I've been down here for about a year. You see that there's a lot of political theater when a new bill comes out. But I think what to me is really significant is two of those four Republican senators that said they couldn't support the bill were on that secret committee of 13 senators who wrote the bill. So what does that tell you? You know, that even the people who were in the room are coming out now saying, I don't like how it came out. So I would say that doesn't bode well. On the other hand, you know, so many of these people now have run on the Republican side on this, we're going to repeal Obamacare and replace it with something better and cheaper. And now they feel like they have to do something. And, you know, to be fair, there were problems with Obamacare. You know, it didn't live up to its promise entirely. Some people were hit with really high deductibles and premiums, which is what the GOP is always talking about. That's true. I would say there were plenty of other people who got care who never had it before. Right. And we had to solve that problem. And again, to me, it all comes back to why are those premiums high? Why are the deductibles and copays high? Not just for ACA plans, but for you and me, for everyone. And it's because we've never faced up to this pricing problem we have.
Does this bill fix the super high premium and deductible problem that people have been experiencing?
Well, I mean, one way where it nominally, theoretically could is if you let people sell insurance that's junk insurance, right, that doesn't cover most of the things that they might need, you can offer a really, really low premium, right? But then what you find, it's just like those teaser mortgages, right? When you actually go to use it or a couple of years down the road when you actually get sick, you find out, oh, well, you know, it doesn't include that, or guess what? It has a deductible that's $20,000. So, you know, you can make the premiums look much more affordable without actually offering people genuine insurance. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the worry, that that's the easy way to do it is you just, as the Republicans have done, taken away some of the requirements for what health insurance, what standard good health insurance should look like. And then you can offer really low premiums. But when people go to use it, they may be really stuck with some huge bills and unaffordable surprises.
Lastly, can you just speak briefly about how this bill addresses Planned Parenthood?
Yeah, I mean, this is a really interesting part of the bill, and perhaps the one that is will be most up in the air over the next few days. We're really looking carefully at this. It includes a one-year ban on Medicaid funding for Planned Parenthood. That was a key demand of the anti-abortion groups. If you look on a little gallery of who wrote this bill that we made at Kaiser Health News this morning, you'll see that every one of those senators has 100% rating from the pro-life groups. So you can tell where they're coming from. The problem on this effort will be, in practice, the Senate is passing this bill or wants to pass this bill through something called budget reconciliation. That means that anything that's in this bill has to have an impact, a primary impact on the federal budget. That the reason that the provision is in the bill is because it affects the budget. So the next step for this bill is it has to go through the Senate parliamentarian, who will decide if that provision about defunding Planned Parenthood can even go to the House floor, because it really, as I think we all know, isn't primarily about a budget issue. It's about defunding abortion services, which many of the Republicans don't want to be offered.
All right. Well, we'll see how this goes, and I'm going to start calling you more and continue to tell people to get your book, find out a little bit more about this, and then, you know, be a little more proactive, both as a consumer and as also a citizen, because I think it's, if it's going to change again, let's be smart about it, right?
Right. Now we have to have our voices heard if it's going to change again.
Elizabeth, let's visit again. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Elizabeth Rosenthal is the editor-in-chief at Kaiser Health News and the author of An American Sickness. It's 2:52. This is WGN.